a piece on the rapture. We're going to do some work on Prophecy Sunday, a piece on the rapture Sunday morning, and on end time events and an end time timeline for Sunday night. So these are good services to invite somebody to, because there's a lot of activity in our world and people are very interested in prophecy. And that's a wonderful hook to get somebody involved in a Bible study. So just invite somebody. It seems good in the Holy Ghost that we pursue this this weekend. And so this is going to be a wonderful time of revival. We're looking for Brother Mark Drost in March, and then we've got some other gentlemen coming on down through the spring. We're expecting God to pour out the Holy Ghost. And everybody say amen. Praise God. Now, we've been working in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and we'll take our text from there again tonight and move on into that area. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning in verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. And that's as far as we've gotten so far, but on into the text. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. If you love His Word, as you're seated tonight, let's give God praise and thanks for His Word. Go ahead and have a seat. Lift up your voice. Clap your hands. Magnify Him. We praise You for Your Word, oh God. We thank You for Your Word and the privilege of handling Your Word in this house tonight. And everyone said, praise the Lord. As we've been making our way into these passages, we've established the fact that we are, in fact, in a warfare, and who our enemy is and the hierarchical structure of that enemy and all those that work with him, false prophets and fallen angels and demons, and the fact that God has all of this in control and God is ultimately in charge of all of these things. Everything that goes bump in the night is answerable to our God. And so we take great solace and great confidence in that. And we looked at His weapons there on Sunday and the fact that he'll use fear and seduction and He'll try to lure you into a place of compromise, but He can't take you anywhere you don't want to go. The enemy has no power over you that you don't give him. And so tonight it is more of an exercise of appropriating the power of God unto ourselves and learning to say no and keeping our minds and our spirits untainted from the things of the world. So tonight we're going to look at our weapons. We've looked at him and we've looked at him being the enemy. We've looked at his weaponry and his approaches. Tonight we're going to look at our weapons. Everyone say, our weapons are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. I want to tell you right now, if you have the Holy Ghost and you've been baptized in His name and you're in love with the Word of God, you have everything you need to stand right where you are right now in the condition you're in and under the assault that the enemy brings to you every day. There is no power on earth that can drag you away from God. Nothing can pluck you out of His hand unless you decide to compromise your own experience. And tell your neighbor, I ain't compromising nothing. I'm going to live for anybody here going to live for God. You got a made up mind. You got a fixed heart and spirit. And you're going to live for God. Well, if that's your heart's desire, you can. But the enemy is so seductive. There are a lot of people who think in this city, a lot of people think they're living for God. And they're a million miles away from the kingdom of God. And there are pulpits that proclaim Christ, and they're a million miles from God. Now, you say, well, now, Brother Sutton, that's confrontational language, and that's pretty rough, and that sounds very judgmental. But listen to me. If you don't know what's right, you can't do what's right. And if you don't know what's wrong, you can't avoid walking in the wrong. This is not rocket science. It's the Word of God. And we can tell what's right and what's wrong and who's right and who's wrong. How would you know what to fellowship if you don't know who's right and wrong? And how can you answer the call of Paul in the letters to the Corinthians when he says, what fellowship has light with darkness and Christ with Belial and a believer with an infidel? How can you understand who he's talking about if you don't know what the truth is? And so as we pursue this tonight, we're going to look at our weapons. They're not carnal. They're not natural. They're not fleshly. But they are, in fact, mighty through God. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God. Everyone say the whole armor of God. You don't want to go into battle half dressed, and you don't want to go into battle with areas that are vulnerable in your life, but you want to make sure that you take on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore. And the armor that Paul runs through here is very simple. He says, having your loins girt about with truth. Anybody in the house just love the truth? The truth is a broad, broad canopy, and it's something the old-timers used to say. They used to say, I love the truth. And that was, I've seen them stand and just say, I love the truth, and sit down, and that was their testimony. And as a youngster, I didn't understand what all was entailed in the truth. But it means I'm in agreement with the Word of God. I'm in agreement with the moving of the Spirit. I'm in agreement with the power of the name of Jesus. And I believe that this is true, and everything outside of it is a lie. And so you want to have your loins girt about with truth. Not to go deeply into this, but simply say that when he teaches the armor of God throughout the generations prior and during the life of Jesus and the apostles, a Roman soldier was a fixture on every street corner and in every public place. And It was a fixture of daily life, a component of their culture. Roman soldiers were everywhere. And for the 400 years preceding that, there were Greek soldiers everywhere. And their armament was much the same. They had a helmet. They had a breastplate. They had a little metal skirting that went down from their waist almost to their knees, and it was to protect them. And then they had spiked shoes that helped them to have traction and to move with great liberty and with great force. And Paul utilizes this very common feature. Now, this is not common in our world. We don't see soldiers all the time. You usually see a Roman soldier in a passion play or something, and usually it's somebody from a church, and they've got a hard hat on with feathers on it or something like that. It's not quite the same, but it was common in this day. And he said, have your loins girt with the truth. That reaches back into Old Testament wording and something that was so common that it became axiomatic. When they would say, gird up your loins, it meant be ready, get ready. And the men had a breech in their robes, and they would tie up their robes to work in the field or work on a deck of a fishing boat or go to war or run. The women didn't have breeches. The men did. And the men would gird up for war. And that was so pervasive in the language that in the New Testament, Paul uses it, and it's a common expression among them. Paul said, gird up the loins of your mind. And he's saying, be prepared and be ready. Don't be taken unaware. Don't be taken off guard. And so when he says, gird up your loins with the truth, he's talking about that armament that they wore that protected those vital areas down in your upper thighs. The fact that that's where when they lay you out on the slab and they're ready to drain every drop out of your body, every drop of blood, that's where they make their incision, right in there. And you bleed out in just a heartbeat, and that's a place you didn't want to get nicked with a spear or a sword. So he said, gird up your loins with the truth. And what he's telling you there is that the truth will protect you. And we're not interested in pacifying the world, and we're not interested in making PC people happy, and we're not interested in being involved in an ecumenical movement, and I'm not interested in wearing off the edges, the hard edges of the truth, and fitting in with the world. I'm just going to tell you right now, if we are puzzle pieces laid out on the table of life, we do not fit in this world. If you're looking for a place for me to fit in this world, I hope I don't snugly and neatly fit in. I was watching Grammy and Madison put a puzzle together on the kitchen table the other day, and they were having a fit because they didn't have a picture to go by. They were just having to figure it out as they went along. But I'm just going to tell you this. If you fit in too nicely to this world, you've got a problem in your life. Because you're too comfortable with this world and you're too much like this world. You ought to always feel like I'm a little bit at odds. I don't really fit in. I'm different. When you walk in the office, you ought to feel it and they ought to feel it. When you walk on the job, you ought to feel it and they ought to feel it. When you go to a family reunion, you ought to feel it and they ought to feel it. We ought not fit in seamlessly and nicely with this world. But the truth makes you have rough edges. I'm not talking about being mean to people or hate to people. I'm just saying, we don't go to your party and we don't go to your dance and we're not going to embrace your false things and we're not going to laugh at your off-color jokes and we're not going to be invited. I don't think it's all right to dress up your little kids like prostitutes and harlots, and I don't think it's a good idea to give out condoms at school, and I don't think it's a good idea to abort little babies, and I don't think it's a good idea to teach your children that homosexuality is an acceptable lifestyle. And I don't, there's a lot about our world that I don't think is right. And I got my ideology from the Word of God. Now, I don't fit in. And we sing the old song, "This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through." The language of the New Testament is that you should be alien and stranger, not to the commonwealth of God. But now you were, he said, aliens and strangers to the kingdom of God. Now we're a part of the kingdom of God and we're alien and stranger to the world. He said, put on, have your loins girt about with truth. That is in a very direct way a statement about your reproductive capacity and the fact that if you're not girt with truth in the kingdom of God, you're not going to be able to reproduce yourself or replicate yourself in the kingdom of God. You're not going to be able to replicate truth unless you are truth. Unless you're walking in truth, you're not going to be able to reproduce that. He said, put on the breastplate of righteousness. Being right and walking right and loving the things of God is going to protect your capacity to have a beating heart and lungs that are able to breathe. Breathing is typical of the Spirit of God. Being able to breathe in the Spirit of God and the things of God. That all of that's protected by righteousness. When you compromise your righteousness, you compromise your heart. And the wise man said, protect, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of light, life. You don't know your heart. The scripture says your heart is deceitfully wicked beyond imagination. And you've got to keep it. You've got to protect it. There's things that I don't need to read. That's why I don't have a television in my home. I don't want Hollywood pumping into my mind and into my heart every day. Somebody say praise the Lord. That's why we teach it as a ministerial standard in this church. You're not to watch worldly movies and you're not to have a television in your home if you're going to be a part of this. You say, well, that's a pretty radical position to take. No, that's a simple position to take. Television and movies are probably the most dominant cultural influence in our American culture today. It's how new ideas and new forms of culture are introduced to the mass population of the United States. And we just turned it off and kicked it out the door and said, I want to be a part of his culture and not a part of this culture. You ought to say amen about that. You're not nearly as excited about that as you ought to be. You ought to give God praise for a message of holiness, because righteousness will keep you. Righteousness will protect your heart and your capacity to interact with the Spirit of God. Having your feet shod in the preparation of the gospel, you've got to have traction. And the gospel is what does that. I'm not going to be blown about by every wind of doctrine, because I know there's no name, no other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved but the name of Jesus. In the book of Acts, the only thing they wanted them to do was just quit preaching in that name. Just quit magnifying that name. Just quit talking about that. But we are the people of the name. If we shut up, there won't be anybody preaching about this. And so we, as the people of God, we're going to lift up the name of Jesus. Jesus. We're going to use the name of Jesus. And I want to warn you as an apostolic, don't you let the holy things of God become casual curse words in your mouth. Don't you use it for alternate slang. You need to be praying or singing or praising or worshiping when you use the name of Jesus. All right. Praise God. And so we need to have our feet shod in the preparation of the gospel of peace. I know that you need to be baptized in the name of Jesus. I know that you need to receive the Holy Ghost. I sat with a gentleman today, had lunch with a gentleman today who was a charismatic Catholic. And I was running him through the book of Acts and trying to explain to him that what he has is not just something extra, something added, something that is alternate, that you can have it if you want it. You don't have to have it if you don't want it. I was trying to let him know this is the Holy Ghost. There is no other. This is what they got in the book. This is what you've got here. And every time you talk in tongues, and I tried to draw him a comparison, he worships in a charismatic prayer group, and they have a manifestation of the gifts, and they all speak in tongues. I said, don't you see the difference? Don't you notice that those that don't have the gift of the Spirit, that they don't have a manifestation of the gifts at all? Don't you feel the difference when you're around them? He needs to know that. I'm just telling you, the Holy Ghost is not optional. The Holy Ghost is essential. The name of Jesus is not optional. The name of Jesus is essential. Well, praise God. The Word of God. Having your feet shod, it just means be stable in the gospel. Not wishy-washy and not subject to influence. He said, lift up the shield of faith. With it you will quench all the fiery darts of the enemy. The enemy's going to come to you, and he's going to hurl things at you to see if at there's some level he can set you on fire. But it's your shield of faith that quenches all of those fiery darts. The helmet of salvation. You need to have your head screwed on straight. You need to be saved, and you need to know that you're saved. And you don't need to live in a valley of vacillation and indecision where some days you think you are and some days you think you're not. You need to cross on over and understand that God has redeemed you by the power of his sacrifice. Somebody say praise the Lord. When the devil comes to you, now, as we move on down in this 10th chapter and get into the heart of what Paul's teaching, we're going to understand that strongholds are imaginations and thoughts and knowledge. And all of that takes place in your head. I want you to understand it's very, very important that you have this business of salvation locked down, your own personal salvation locked down, that you've made decisions and you've crossed over and you've burned the bridges and you're not going back. Anybody got a made-up mind here tonight? Look, we're in the end time. This is not a day to be wondering about your situation in God. This is a day to be right and to be excited about it. And he said, use the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. It's the only offensive piece of armament that Paul lists there. And the Word of God is how you get after the devil. The Word of God is what Jesus used in the wilderness when he was tempted. And the Word of God is the most effective thing you can use. You step out and you just begin to scream, I rebuke you, devil. I rebuke you. You're just a little tiny cosmic voice out in the air. And it's so weak and pitiful. But when you begin to say what God has already said, it thunders wherever you are. And it shakes the enemy. It really does. We're gonna move on. Psalms 91 and 1. Everyone say, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I want you to know that it's the plan and the purpose of God that you live in the presence of God. That you don't just visit church every now and then and have a little touch or have a little taste, but you have an abiding prayer life, a communion with God that moves out of the church house into your house, down the highway with you, on the job with you. You've got a psalm in your heart. You've got a prayer in your mouth. You are ready at all times to do battle with the enemy, to give God praise, to witness to somebody. You've got a praise on your heart all the time. Now, if you're constantly afraid or anxious or worried or frustrated or angry and mad, that pushes out all of those things I've just listed. When you're preoccupied with circumstance and with people and you're wrestling with things that pull your vision down to the ground level, then you're already in trouble in this warfare. But you've got to keep your eyes up. We're not bound by circumstances. We serve a God that is greater than everything. We're not bound by trouble because we've got a God that's bigger than every giant and every enemy and every problem I'm ever going to. Do you believe that tonight? Every problem that I have, my God is bigger than that problem. Somebody say amen. Praise God. And when he talks about dwelling in the secret place of the Most High, it's not some extravagant place that only some rare prophet can live in. This promise is to every child of God. When he tore the veil in the temple, it was an invitation for everybody who is a child of God to come into the Holy of Holies. To come into the Holy of Holies is simple. All you have to do is pass by the altar of sacrifice. You have to make sure you have a repentance experience in your life, that you've got something burning on the altar all the time. You've got to have an altar experience, that you've passed by the brazen laver and you've washed yourself, you've cleansed yourself. Today you've prayed a prayer, you've already been baptized in Jesus' name. You don't have to be baptized again when you sin. All you have to do is 1 John chapter 1. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us. But you need a life of repentance. You need to lift up your life, your home, your family, those that are under your authority before God in repentance. And then you make your way in through that tabernacle process. It is a process. When you get to the Holy of Holies, you can enter in, but you can't live a lazy, sloppy life and expect to be under the shadow of the Almighty or in the secret place of the Most High. You may want to be there and you may want to have $1 million too, but you can't get there without a little bit of work. Somebody say praise the Lord. And so if you're serious about God, there's not a person in this house tonight that can't dwell every day in the secret place of the Most High, under the shadow of the Almighty. Well, praise, all it is an experience in the Holy of Holies. God opened that up to you when he tore the veil in the temple. And everybody that's filled with the Holy Ghost and baptized in Jesus' name can be there every day. But it takes a prayer life. It takes a desire. It takes some expended energy. It takes a heart that says, I know you got to go to work. I know you got to clean the house. I know you got to take care of the kids. You got to cook supper. You got to blah, 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 blah. You got to do all these things. But before I do any of those things, I've got to be right with God. The first thing on my to-do list today is be right with God. I want to get it right. I want to be in communion with God. I want to touch base with God. I want to call him up and say, God, you're doing all right. I want to tell you how much I love you today. And I just want to touch base with you today before I want God involved in everything that I do. Amen. And it's always a shocker when you're in the middle of a difficult situation and you think, oh, I need to pray about this. But it's a whole lot better to have started the day prayed up, full of the Holy Ghost, ready for anything, and then you walk into the trouble. And quite often when you're prayed up to start the day, the trouble is already taken care of by the time you get there. Has anybody found that to be true? Praise God. God has called you to live in a state that the psalmist calls the secret place of the Most High, or under the shadow of the Almighty. Praise God. Anybody love the presence of God that just comes and visits you in the course of a normal day? Is there anybody here that feels the Holy Ghost on the job? Is anybody here that feels the Holy Ghost in your house? Anybody here feels Holy Ghost greeting you in the morning? You know, I hear him talking to me sometime before my foot ever hits the floor. And it's so encouraging and exciting. God knows where I am, and God cares about me. And God's as eager and probably more so for this relationship than I am. Well, praise God. And I was talking to somebody this week, and they're all bummed out because they don't have a solid hour of prayer, but they have 20 or 30 good minutes. I said, sweetheart, that is good prayer. That's good investment. Let's do that. Do what you can. Plug into God. Get yourself into the presence of God. It's not designed to be only on Sunday night services where we get in this maelstrom of worship and praise and the whole body goes up into heavenly places. That's a wonderful thing, and I love that. But this is designed for the individual. The corporate experience is never going to be any more powerful than the individuals that make it up. The church is never going to be any more powerful than the individuals that make it up. Well, praise God. Let's love him for a moment. Let's lift up our voice and magnify him and praise him. Hallelujah. God, we give you praise. We magnify you. We worship you. We thank you, oh God. We thank you, oh God. We thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Praise God. 1 John 5 and 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. To every man is given the measure of faith. But faith is in need of exercise. Faith is something you have to work and you have to exercise. And I only see two places in the scripture that faith comes from. One is Romans 10 and 17. Everyone say, faith cometh by hearing, and that by the word of God. I can't imagine having a life outside a personal, vibrant experience in the word of God. You need to have a Bible on your nightstand. You need to have a Bible in your lunchbox. You need to have a Bible in your car. You need to. Now it's like people got Bibles on their phones and on their iPads. And so you got Bibles all over you. I don't care if it's print or electronic. You need to be surrounded by the Word of God. And you need to be involved in the Word of God on an everyday basis. Why? Because that is a portal into the heart and the mind of God. It's an extremely powerful thing. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. Then I want to be exposed to the Word of God on an everyday basis, not just Wednesday nights and Sunday mornings and Sunday nights. Those are marvelous times. But you need to have a devotion where you open that Word of God and read a passage and just let it seep down into your bones. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Faith comes by hearing, and that by the Word of God. Jude verse 20, Jude tells the church to build up their most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. So how do you build your faith? The only two places I see, you can exercise it in other areas, but the only two overt passages of Scripture are interaction with the Word of God and praying in the Holy Ghost. Now, for those of you that might be a visitor or you don't understand, praying in the Holy Ghost is praying in tongues. It's praying in the Spirit. Now, to do that on a regular basis, it presupposes that you got a prayer life. Because you're not going to be hanging out praying in tongues if you don't have a prayer life. So it begins with a prayer life. And then you want to exercise that. Everybody with the Holy Ghost ought to be talking in tongues every day. You ought to be talking in tongues driving down the road. Why? What are you doing? I'm exercising my faith. Well, how are you exercising your faith? Because I don't have the slightest idea what I'm saying. I don't know what I'm saying. I mean, turn the radio off. Shut down whatever you've been listening to. And I mean, spend every spare moment you have talking in tongues. Well, you say, well, what does that do? Well, I can just tell you the first thing it does on one level, it builds your faith because the Word of God says that. It builds your faith. But I'm telling you, praying in your understanding and praying in tongues is like pulling on chains. I don't see what it's connected to. I don't know what it's opening up. But I know God's up there and there's something good. So I'm going to be pulling on the chain. I could spend my day listening to a lot of secular things and worldly things and interesting things, but there's nothing I can spend my time on that's going to tap into anything more powerful than praying and praying in tongues. It's like opening a big valve. You say, what are you doing? I don't have the slightest idea. What's behind there? I don't know, but it's God and it's good. And something's going to break loose in my home and in my family and in my life because I'm exhausted. I have prayed every prayer I know to pray. And I've thought of everything I could say, every way I could present this to God. But here in this moment, I'm going to let God pray. I'm going to let the Holy Ghost pray a prayer that's beyond my pay grade, that's beyond my understanding, because Paul says when you pray in the Spirit, your natural mind is without understanding. You don't know what you're saying. Praise God. I want you to just stop right now. If you have the Holy Ghost, I want you to lift up your hands, and I want you to just begin to pray in the Spirit right now. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, Go ahead and lift your hands and begin to love God. God will fill you with the Holy Ghost right now. He can do that right now. Praise God. Paul said, I thank my God I speak in tongues more than all of you. Just forget about everybody by you. This is a workshop. Press into the Spirit. Let God talk. Hallelujah. This is not just a little exercise. Somebody's tapping into this right now. Let it go. Just let it go. Just lose yourself in it. I don't care if we go any further at all. This is an area where we exercise our weaponry. This is where God breaks in and takes over, and God speaks a prayer and prophecy flows through you. They spake in tongues and prophesied. What is that prophecy? It's about what you need. It's about the city. It's about your loved ones. Ah, hallelujah. I don't know what I'm saying, but I trust God. God's speaking mighty things into your life. Ah, hallelujah. Corre la mata se prende le mani la carrella ibra la papara la bosso pro loro moro e la hana editagana la yedre idel de e loro bosso soro editagana la yedre dalla hassa yedolo yedolo matrice tele la barre la ha yedi se tambara la vallegre ani alla Ali alabra, yoro no mata katalina. Glory to God. Glory to God. If you're sitting near somebody, take a hand or lay your hand on somebody and just let that flow. Hallelujah. Adi davia mo se si sabra la marietaria. Ed è sedre la mato non lo corre la massa. Yede si trambava la marro. Yabra la patare le becatundolo sobre la ra. Yedi dabre mamatundolo yore la mahasabra la matagara la yedre. Si tondolo yore la mahasabra la ya. So you may not understand this, but I'm just telling you right now, there's a backslider that's feeling the drawing power of God. There's a husband that's not living for God, but he's feeling the drawing power of God right now. You can't have God uttering through your vessel without something moving out into the city. Ah, hallelujah. Adesse Dio lo boho sotto loro magedre la hala. Igra la pare la passundo loro corre la hala. Praise God. Let's clap our hands unto him and bless his name. Hallelujah. God, we give you thanks. God, we give you praise. We magnify you. We bless you. We praise you. We lift you up. Glory to God. Glory to God. In Acts chapter 2, the people in the street heard them speaking in tongues, and how did they describe what they heard? We do hear them speaking the wonderful works of God. Sometimes when you're praying in tongues, you're just praising God. But you're praising God on an amped up level that's beyond your praise. And in that case, it spoke volumes. It had a tremendous impact on those that were in the street. But I read in my Bible where they appointed singers unto the Lord and began to praise and magnify God in the day of Jehoshaphat. And the enemy that was massing to destroy them was destroyed before the army ever got there because someone was praising God. Now you've got to get out of the little circle where you're living. When you, I don't know how you want to envision this. Athletes envision things. People that do physical performances, they envision the action that they're involved in. I don't know what you want to do, but you need to break out of thinking that it's just going about this far and it's just me and my little shell. You need to be a Daniel and throw open all the windows and open up all the doors around you, whether or not you do it actually physically in the building you're in, or you just go through that in your own personal preparation for prayer. Just kick open the windows and say, this is going to be mighty. God's going to speak through me. Something's going to roll like a river. My enemies are going to be vanquished. God's going to be glorified. People are going to be touched. I don't know if there's any limit to what God can do with someone that will lend their vessel unto God. Somebody say, praise the Lord. You don't need to be praying at a low level. It exercises. You see, he said, building up your most holy faith. Well, how does that work? Well, you're speaking in a language you don't understand. And you're believing God to be doing things that you have no way of seeing in your natural. There is no natural satisfaction to this at all. But you really do have to get on board with this in your spirit. This is going to be mighty. This is powerful. This is not just some little punctuation on the end of my prayer or my worship. This is not some little throwaway thing that I do in a Pentecostal church. But this is the river of living water. This is a well springing up into everlasting life. He said, you know what I'm going to do in you? I'm going to put something in you that's going to be a well springing up into everlasting life. Well, our city, I want to tell you, is full of thirsty people, people that need God. And when you do that, you are the equivalent of the vision of the prophet. It's springing up out of you. In you are the temple of God. It's springing up in the temple, flowing out into the city. And if we do it well enough, and if we do it enough, we're going to create a river in this city that cannot be passed over. Now, I believe that. I don't know what you think this prayer business is about, but I'll tell you this. If you ever get on board with what God has in prayer and what he intends in prayer, your prayer life is going to be revolutionized. Your life in the spirit is going to be revolutionized. Somebody clap your hands. Let's just praise him a little bit right now. Hallelujah. 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 I don't want us to go any further. I want several of you that have some chronic, serious problems in your body and you need healing. I want you to come down right now. And I want somebody that really believes God. Let's all stand together. Lindsay or Tiffany or somebody help me. All right, here's Sister Rose. We need somebody to lay hands on her. And I want you to talk in the spirit. I want you to let that Holy Ghost flow. Here's Sister Evelyn, and it's lupus. She's got lupus, and we believe God is a healer. I want somebody to come lay your hands on her right now. Sister Sharon's got some crippling neurological problems. I need somebody to lay hands on her and talk in tongues. Let God pray a prayer. Let God pray a prayer. Sister Faith, you're standing for yourself, for your mama, for yourself. Okay. Sister Deanie's healing in her back. I want you to let the Holy Ghost flow. All right, I want you to hear me. He said, I want you to go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. And these signs shall follow them that believe. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall be healed. The gift is in you. Come on, let that out. Step up in that prayer. Step up in your faith. Lift up your head. Don't bow your head when you pray like that. Pray a dominion prayer. Pray a prayer of faith. Lay your hands on them. Holy Ghost flowing out of every vessel. To your word, Jesus, let the Holy Ghost flow.
I believe.
Let the healing of God flow. Let the gift of God flow. Break forth, Jesus. Shut the mouth of the enemy. Shut the mouth of every lying and hindering thing. Do it in the name of Jesus.
You're my portion.
Of God.
Oh, we thank you, Lord. We praise you.
We need the power of God flowing through every vessel. Praise the Lord. I want you to turn to somebody And I want you to just tell them, these signs shall follow them that believe. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Come on, tell somebody, he was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace is upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. Come on, somebody say that. And by his stripes, we are healed. Faith cometh by the word of God. You need to open your mouth and say what God has said. I know what the doctor says, and I know what the statistics say, but I know there's a miracle, and I know that God is able. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Almighty God. Praise God. Would you find somebody to just lock up with for a minute? Just let that Holy Ghost flow from vessel to vessel. Hallelujah. Ah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Come on, let that Holy Ghost flow. Let that anointing flow. Yes, 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 yes.
You're my portion. Oh, I believe you're all I need. You're more than
something really sweet moving in this altar right now. Something really, really anointed moving here right now. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's give him praise and magnify his name. What a good God. What a good God. What a good God. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. In the midst of this discussion tonight, I hear David lamenting in his eulogy for Saul. And in that, he says that Saul cast away his shield as though it had never been anointed. He had something powerful from God, and he never used it. In all of these things that come against you, the crushing pressures against your family, the sickness, the challenges, all of the things that move against the people of God, use your giftedness. Use your Holy Ghost. Don't let it be a thing of last resort. Use it. Use it every day. Blow up in the Holy Ghost. Lay on your face like Moses and just cry out to God. God, God hears your prayer. God lives inside of you. Loose him and let him be God. His wrestling match with Jacob, his complaint was, let me go. God wants to be turned loose and to be let go in the middle of your problems. Quit trying to figure them all out and weep over them and think them through. Pray them through. Let God. God bless you. Love and bless somebody before you leave the house tonight. So good to be in the Lord's house with you on a Wednesday night.